Hey guys, it's Mia Baker here and welcome back to a brand new episode of Unsussed. Today, we're talking to the one and only Mac Boucher. Now, if you don't know who he is, he's that guy on Instagram with the mustache who can hit the most crazy slingshots you've ever seen and still get it on the green. He's the guy that travels the world and visits the most incredible golf courses, the Canadian one with the hair popping out at the back of his cap. But he's also so much more than that. This episode is all about digging a bit deeper into the Mac we see on Instagram, into the world of social media, anxiety, the realities, but also the positives. I've met Mac all around the world, and every time I meet him, I like him more and more. But why? Because he's real, he's frank, and he's himself. I think you're going to find this episode deeply interesting. And on that note, let's get started. Right, we are currently sat in Mauritius. I'm joined by the one and only Mac. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast.
No, thanks for having me. We keep on just meeting in these random countries around the world.
I know. We first met in New York.
New York City, yep.
Then we met in LA.
LA.
And then we met in Mauritius.
And then I'm following you home.
And then you follow me back to England. It's pretty wild.
It is wild, just jumping around, but that's what golf does.
I know. And the first time we met, I actually didn't know who you were, but you were friends of Sarah Winter, and I knew who Sarah was, and you were just kind of just next to her.
Yeah,
do you remember?
Yeah, we were out watching your friend Olivia Cowan.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, at the Aramco Team whatever Series event, New York.
That was the final round, maybe. Mm-hmm. We were out watching, and then I went up to you, and I'm like, I actually gave you a follow on Instagram a long time ago. And you're like, no, you don't. You don't follow me. I'm like, pretty sure I follow you, Mia.
And then I messaged my boyfriend, and I was like, do you know a guy called Mac Boucher? And he's like, oh my God, yeah, he's so cool. And I was like, what?
No, he's a loser. No, and then, yeah, Sarah's like, yeah, like I'm friends with him for a while, and obviously we're both Canadian, both doing the similar things. And then and then after that, I feel like it just became friends.
Just like that.
Just like that.
So to give you guys some context, we're in Mauritius for the BMW Golf Cup World Final, which is one of the biggest amateur golf events in the world. And we've been invited to kind of, well, I'm doing more presenting. You're doing the cool stuff.
Yeah, they don't let me talk because it's not my strength. No, talking on camera, really I get very nervous. I feel like I'm trending in the right direction, slowly getting better day by day, but it's still very much outside my comfort zones. 2 years ago, I probably couldn't even, like, the thought of talking in front of people.
You know, they actually did come and say to me, they're like, Mia, Mac's really come a long way from when we first started working with him. They were, like, singing your praises. How funny is that?
I just feel like I have so far to go, too. Like, I listen and watch myself after, and I see somebody that's, like, a natural. You say you're not a natural, I'd say you're a natural. You're confident, though. Like,
you have to fake it till you make it.
Okay, but maybe I'm just not good at faking it until you make it. I just really, really struggle at seeing myself with someone who knows what they're doing because I always find that I am lagging so far behind and looking natural. But we're getting better. I'm trying my very best because I know it is a skill that I think can benefit what I'm doing, and I think it's going to open a lot of doors if I just get used to being a little bit more in the limelight. Light.
But
lime
also lime life and lime right.
Both, yeah, limelight. So we're learning.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're doing a really good job. And
thank you.
I think we are all very, like, self-critical because I look back at the stuff that I do and I'm like, oh, my God, my voice is the most annoying thing I've ever heard in the world. And I'm so, like, screechy and I'm so, like,
yeah, but it's just you. You're exciting. It's, like, I think it's a good thing. It shows your personality.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you've been on many podcasts before. I feel like you've been on quite a few recently.
So I didn't go on any before because I hate talking about myself. Mm-hmm. It's like something I was getting tons of requests in even since I started, I had smaller ones reaching out quite a bit. And I was always like, no, does people really care about my story? Do people really care what I'm doing? And a lot of people were asking, and I was like, I just don't like talking about myself. I'd rather talk about other people. I'd rather dig deep into somebody else's life than my own. But then I'm like, you know what? I think I get a lot of the same questions a lot in the comments and the DMs. And I think it's beneficial to go on and just kind of tell the basic stories. But I do find that a lot of the podcasts I've gone on, it's like the same questions.
Yeah. So it's like,
and it's like, how do you get into golf? Mm-hmm. Like, why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you shape the ball the way that you shape it? And it's not maybe, I don't know, people are probably sick of hearing that same stuff because I feel like there's more to me than the Instagram. But
I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, it's probably worth you giving a quick background.
Yeah, definitely.
Whistle stop tour.
Yeah, I mean, so
who the hell you are?
I grew up in Canada, just north of Toronto, just a little town. Didn't play golf growing up, played every other sport growing up. Obviously, was big into ice hockey and skiing and snowboarding and the winter sports in Canada. Cause obviously, in Canada, you need to be like that or else you're going to have the seasonal depression kicking in hard. But yeah, golf was never on my radar, a little too slow paced for me. So I wanted to do something a little bit more fast paced. Injury forced me into golf quite late on. I think 18 years old, roughly, is when I got into it, like pretty full on. Took it up really quickly, really enjoyed it, just like and loved the process of getting better. And then, yeah, played high level amateur golf, turned professional, played professionally for 3 or 4 years. And then had a different injury, wrist surgery in my right wrist in 2016.
Really?
Yeah, so that's kind of what gave up the... I mean, I knew I was never good enough to maybe make a career. But I was also kind of just forced me into the decision that I think was looming. So did that, but I realized that I loved golf. I loved being around golf. So I took up teaching. I was teaching in a course in just north of Toronto for a while. And then I moved to New Zealand in 2017. Was the head teaching professional, of course, in Queenstown, New Zealand, that I absolutely loved, fell in love with it there. Feels like home for me there. And then COVID hit and was forced to leave New Zealand back to Canada. So had to almost restart again. Mm-hmm. And that's when I decided
when my life changed.
Yeah. Honestly, it was like one of those things that,
welcome to the club, honey.
Honestly, I think that's the interesting thing with you and I is like, we obviously have very different backgrounds, different, but we've kind of just like fallen into this golf space in different ways, but it's very similar trajectory in the sense that we started around the same time. We both are kind of, I mean, we were talking about earlier today, just how a lot of the brands that we work with are very similar because I think our visions on things are very aligned and unique in that sense maybe. So yeah, but started making these videos when COVID hit and did it as like a fun side hobby that just kind of passed the time because I was like, what am I going to do with my life? And then it's kind of turned into a little bit of a gig for me now.
Were you scared that you didn't really know what you were going to do with your life?
Totally. When I moved back to Canada, it was like, it was pretty miserable, to be honest, because I knew I wanted to be in New Zealand. Mm. It was like, I got rid of everything. I'm like, this is where I want to be. To have to go back to a place where I do like obviously Canada's awesome, but Toronto's not really my scene. To try to figure out how I'm going to like readjust and figure out a golf job in Toronto where it's only 6 months of the year golf season. It was pretty tough hitting. I think.
What were you planning on doing?
I was just going to go back to teaching. So I did go back to teaching when I moved back. I guess it would have been like the summer 2020. I started teaching at an indoor facility in Toronto that, I guess that summer fall, TXG, they were awesome to me. They have a big YouTube channel. They're quite well known, but Ian Fraser, the owner of, TXG was like, come on, teach here. And I loved it. Like it was awesome. Like he gave me every opportunity to do what I wanted to do. And then we went into this lockdown because of COVID. So I couldn't even teach at the indoor facility because it was shut.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting at home being like, what am I going to do? Like I'm 30 years old. I need to like figure out what I'm going to do with my life.
Can I just say, you're way older than I thought. Not that you're really old.
No, but
like, I
think that's what most people think.
Yeah.
Honestly, like I think I look young, which I think helps that. But I also act maybe young because I feel like I want to be youthful. Like why? There's no reason to grow old, right? But yeah, so I started, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I went to Dubai, booked a one-way flight ticket to Dubai. And that's when I started posting these videos.
Wow.
Just for fun.
Had you been to Dubai before?
First time. It was the only country
that
was open.
I
knew Alex Riggs, who we both know. I messaged Alex Riggs on Instagram and was like, how's Dubai right now? And he's like, everything's open. We went through a tough lockdown, but it looks like we're like past that now. Golf courses are open. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Weather's good. Golf courses are open. And they were like hurting for tourism. So like hotels were cheap. So I booked an entire month. And just from there, just posted these videos. Came back home to Canada in March and took a head teaching job at a course like 2 hours north of my house. I was commuting every day.
What?
Yeah, I drove. So I was driving 4 hours of every day to work to teach golf.
That is not whilst, my cup of tea.
No one's cup of tea, but it was like the course was beautiful. It was one of the top courses in Canada. And it gave me an opportunity not only like have that income coming in from teaching, but then keep on making these videos I was making because the course was beautiful. It looked good on video.
Yeah.
So I was working teaching and then I'd go home at night and just edit videos and just keep it going. Because I think the first 2 years, I posted a video every single day. I didn't miss a day for 2 years. Yeah, I was posting every day. Yeah.
What kind of videos were you posting at the start?
Same as now. I have not changed.
Really?
Nothing has changed. So like I started with whole vlogs where I would just showcase the whole. Because I think for me it was like the creative side of it, like seeing a whole that looks really good to my eye and finding a way to make it look good on a video. So that was like my niche, I would say. And people were sitting at home during COVID with nothing else better to do. So like they would spend that minute watching my my whole vlogs. So whole vlogs was what kind of started it. And then I started obviously branching out to the shorter versions. And then in the last like few months, I've started trying to talk a little bit more and like step out of those comfort zones.
What I find really interesting about you, which is very different than me, is what the hell? Can you hear? That's like some weird ass bird. what I find interesting is all your content is, I'm going to say like silent content. You write words on your reels and I never hear your voice. Whereas I started like constantly, yap, yap, yap. And it's really interesting actually, because now you're trying to develop the skills of yap, yap, yap.
Yeah.
And I'm like trying to develop the skills of just posting more, because I actually got, so basically I was doing what you did and I was posting all the time. And then it got to a point where I felt like there was too many people and I got nervous, and then I got nervous of comments, and then I got anxiety, and then I couldn't read the comments. Not that there was necessarily bad ones, but if there was one bad one, it would throw me because I wasn't used to the bad ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I get into this like,
it's an endless cycle. Yeah, it really is. And I think that's been my hardest part with it, is avoiding digging too deep into the comments, trying to just let the good, take the good and the bad. Cause obviously there's, for every one bad one, there's a billion good ones, but it's hard because people don't know who I am because I'm not talking in my videos. So for me, it's like they're judging me based on a video that I'm posting that's a minute long with music playing in the background, but people are still finding something to dig at me about. And I think for me, that's why I'm trying to talk more, to show that I am self-deprecating, that I don't take myself seriously, that I try to treat everyone nicely, that I'm, and there's more to it than just what comes across in a 1 minute video where I maybe came across arrogant or cocky, which is not what I am. I'm the least arrogant, cocky person ever. I'm the first to say if I was that good at golf, I wouldn't be making daily Instagram videos. I'd be playing golf professionally. But it's just the beast of it, I guess, right?
I feel like you have to constantly prove yourself. Like, I felt that from the very start. Like, I was just a silly girl who can't even play golf, who was trying to do these stupid little swing videos. And if I didn't show my personality, then I was just another, I don't even know.
You know what I mean? I remember saying to you, like, I was following you before you knew who I was. And I knew girls who were following you.
Yeah.
See, that you probably wouldn't have known. And it was like, I think that's really cool because, I mean, in the industry, to have like, I mean, I'm a huge believer that we need to get more women into the game. It's like a massive thing that I think there's so much enjoyment that can come from it. But a lot of people are intimidated because it's been such a male-dominated sport, and girls maybe are a little bit worried to go out there and embarrass themselves. And I think you've done a really good job at like getting out there and showing that you can just like be yourself, be like bubbly and like just play golf, and it doesn't need to be perfect and it doesn't need to be like competitive. It can be like a fun pastime that you can do with your girlfriends and like have a good time doing. And I think that's super important, and then we need more of that in golf.
Yeah, I think it's hard though, because like even in the industry, everyone is a guy. Like even today we were out filming, what was it, 4 or 5 guys and me.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's like that all the time.
Yeah, you wouldn't have many females.
Yep. No.
It's pretty crazy.
So it kind of has to start internally, I think, as well as externally. But there's so many more women who are playing golf. Like, it's gone up by 5%, I think, from 15 to 20% of people are now women.
Yeah.
Golfers are now women. I feel like it's a growing industry, I'd like to say. There's loads of them on Insta now. Like, hell, it's a bit of like a minefield out there. There's so many of them.
Well, that's my big thing is I can't believe how many people, I mean, I wouldn't say that I was the original person posting Instagram videos because I was far from that. But I feel like I had like this niche with like the whole vlogs. It was myself and a guy, Andrew Rasmussen, back in Canada, who I came across his account. I didn't know who he was. I'd heard of him. Mm. And he was making these whole vlogs before I was. But I really liked what he was doing. And then I kind of made my own twist on it. And just seeing how many more people are doing it now. Like, but I think that's
like
anything.
Do you feel like a pressure though? Like, because everyone's doing it and therefore you're not different?
No, because I feel like I'm being myself. And I think the thing is a lot of people aren't being themselves. They're trying so hard. Like, I get so many messages of people being like, I want to do what you do for a living. And I'm like, you don't understand that it doesn't just like happen like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I still barely... I don't make that much money off Instagram. Like, Instagram, yeah.
You don't make any money directly from Instagram.
No, we make no money directly off Instagram. Yeah, exactly. Which is like crazy that people don't believe, because in the US you can. You can make money off Reels.
Really?
Yeah, I found this out.
I read that somewhere. Actually.
Yeah, so you can be in the Reels program in the US and they're making decent money off posting Reels, like quite decent.
Gosh.
And it's at least enough to like pay the bills. But we're relying on brand deals and brand opportunities and like things like. And you feel obligated that you have to take them. But my big thing is I don't want to be a sellout where I'm just accepting every single thing. Like, oh, I'm going to do CBD oil this week and granola bars next week. And like, that's just not what I am. So it's so hard because I'm like, I want to do this for a living. And you have these companies willing to pay you, but it doesn't align with the brand. Mm-hmm. So do I really want to do it? Right? It's like, it's tough. But I think the key is just like you've done a really good job is just like, keeping true to what you got you to this point, and it all kind of falls into place. You just have to be patient. That's what I'm trying to be, just as patient as possible, and understand that by being myself, that's what's going to give me longevity in the social media world. As soon as you steer away from that, then
Have you enjoyed the whole of your like social media career?
I think I could never sit here and say like it's been a negative, because that would be lying to everything. Like, look at me, I'm traveling the world playing golf
99% of your days.
With that being said, like it has its moments. Like, I'm sure you know, I'm a very introverted person. I don't love being the center of attention. I like being the guy in the back listening and not being in the state or like
limelight. You know what, I find that really interesting, because a lot of content creators are quite introverted because all you need is your camera and yourself, and you have nobody around you, and you make your ideas and you just put it on the internet, which is also really odd to do, but you don't actually have to speak to anyone.
It's so true, and I think that's been my biggest adjustment. It's like, I went to the Canadian Open last year on the PGA Tour. They told me to come out on the Sunday and just like show face, post some stories and stuff. So I came out. The minute I stepped foot at the Canadian Open, I was just bombarded with people. Like, it was like nonstop. I couldn't walk 3 feet without being like,
really?
Can I get a picture? Can I get a picture? Like, guys yelling from the grandstands, like, Sling King, Sling King. And I'm like,
but that's kind of cool, though.
So cool, but so overwhelming for a guy who doesn't like attention.
Yeah.
I left like 35 minutes. I was by myself. I showed up by myself. Yeah, I had no one around me. And I was like, for me, it was just too much to the point where like, I actually left. Like,
I can't imagine that.
I think I walked around for like maybe three whole loop, and I was like, okay, I'm done. Like, I can't do this anymore. It's only gonna get worse as the day goes on, and I'm like around the big groups. So that side of it's been a huge adjustment. I wouldn't say it's a negative. It's just part of it, I guess.
Yeah. I would say people don't really come up to me and say anything. I think people like look at me, but no one comes up to me. But then I feel like if I'm with a guy who's also a content creator, they'll come up to him. And then at the very end of the conversation, they'll be like, oh, I know you too, Mia. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, maybe it's just
but
like...
But then girls will always come up and say, oh, Mia, like, rah, rah, rah.
But it's probably good for you.
And I find it so weird.
Guys are just... You just intimidate them. That's what
I'm
it
like
is.
I'm like the least intimidating. Like, I'm known for being so smiley and happy. But I just find it so
weird. Yeah, but in the flesh, when a guy's like right there, like... I would have a hard time going up to people. I would never go up to people.
To be fair.
Like, I don't care how famous you are, I would never go up to someone. It's just I'm too, like, nervous around, like, embarrassing myself. So I'm like, I'll just take the high road here and just say, oh, is that
like,
who
I
think
say?
It is?
Yeah. Hi.
Kudos to the people that can go up and, like,
I think
do
it's
that.
Really, like, I think it's really nice that people come and say hello. Like, I appreciate it.
I mean, we need those people. Those are the people that are, like, that's why it's like, I'm not complaining about it at all, because it's part of it. It's just an adjustment for me, because it's so much different than the life I was living before this.
Yeah.
So I would not change it. There's definitely days that, like, I wish I could shut it off. And it gets exhausting reading those negative comments and constantly having to defend yourself. But
what about the fact that every time you go anywhere, all people want you to, Mac, do a slingshot?
Yeah, it's...
I think it's cool. Awesome, but
it is cool. It's like, I don't know, we were on the range today at Mauritius and the kids. Yeah.
That's so inspiring.
And that kid's probably a way better golfer than me. It's like, it plays on Team Czech Republic. And like, he's, kid was an incredibly good golfer.
Yeah, he's good.
But he was still like, can we see one? Can I see you like cook one? And then I did it. And he was like, well, now I can tell all my friends that it's not cap. I'd have to learn what cap was. That's for the younger generation.
I don't know what cap means. Like, it's
lying.
Not
you're
rubbish.
Lying. That's cap.
Yeah. Okay.
That's cap. If anyone ever puts a blue cap on your comments, that means that you're lying. They're calling you out as being a liar.
Gosh, thank you for making me down with the kids. Damn.
We're getting way too old for that.
Yeah, apparently, like, the cry laugh emoji is not cool anymore, but I use it all the freaking time.
Honestly, it's every day there's something new that comes around. I had to Google what cap meant. I literally typed in, what does the blue cap mean on Google? And it was like, it means like someone's calling you out for lying. So it was funny today when that kid's like, well, I'm going to tell my friends that it's no cap. Your stuff's no cap. And I'm like, okay, you tell them.
It's a whole new language, isn't it? I never thought I would be that person.
Too old for that. Would,
yeah, I never thought I would say I was too old.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, but that I think is super cute and like super inspiring. And for me, it's those moments that make everything like worth it, as opposed to loads of people shouting at you and screaming at you. It's when you're actually with someone and they're trying to hit your shots and you're seeing them play golf and it's impacting their life almost.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I like from my stuff is I've had a lot of messages of people reach out to me and be like, it just brings me happiness. I sit there and watch, like, binge watch your videos. It's just like the music's good. It's just like you having a good time, cool views. So, I mean, it brings enjoyment to people. It maybe brings a different aspect of golf that they maybe didn't see before. So maybe get some people thinking that, I've had a lot of people say, like, I used to be so serious in the golf course and it was miserable. I was just so mad by the third hole if I was too over par. And, like, now people just go and have fun because, like, that's why I play golf.
So serious.
Golf is wild. I mean, we're probably both critical. Like, we probably do it to ourselves sometimes. There's some days where you hit a bad one and you find yourself mad. Yeah, or you're struggling on the range and you're, like, you're in a battle with your swing and you're, like, what is going on? And then all of a sudden you're hitting the panic switch because you can't get the golf ball airborne and you're like, what am I doing with my life?
That's hitting home real hard right now. I had a panic today.
Yeah, but that's understandable. Like, you're trying to change something in your golf swing, which is super cool that now you understand. You're at a point now where you're not a beginner golfer, where you actually understand movements of a golf swing and you want to feel something. You can't feel it. You're getting frustrated. You feel like you're actually going backwards instead of forwards. And then all of a sudden you're not hitting the golf ball in the air and you're like, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's frustrating. It's frustrating. It's not an easy sport.
But what's weird as well is, like, it's frustrating to you, but everyone else is like, oh, you've come a long way. But all you see is how you were like yesterday or a minute ago and you can't see that change.
It's so hard sometimes when to get out of that rut. Once you're in that rut, it's like,
I know.
But I think that's why, for me, my style of golf and how just, like, it's more about fun now and just accepting a bad shot and try again on the next hole. Or
no, but if you hit a bad shot and it goes in a dodgy place, all you're thinking is, oh, this would make a sick video.
100%. That's what I tell people. I'm like, do I need to hit a 40-yard hook from the middle of the fairway with nothing in front of me? No, probably not. But it's comfortable to me, and I'm really, like, I love doing it because it's effective for me. I know what the miss is going to be. And then, if I miss a fairway now, I'm not scared because I feel like I can get out of trouble. It's not a bad problem to have.
It's so cool. Like, if you've never seen any of Mac's stuff, it's really cool. Like, in real life, it's so cool. I'm, like, gushing at how cool it is. It's just cool, guys. Go and check it out. But, yeah, I feel like, I don't know, Instagram is such a weird one because you don't do YouTube yet. You don't have a podcast. You don't.
Yeah, I've done.
Do you do TikTok? You do do TikTok.
I do. But it's just like a straight. Instagram and TikTok's the same thing.
That's fine.
I stay off TikTok. It's too much of a young crowd for me. I'm too old for that.
You should get on TikTok. You'd smash it.
Yeah.
You would.
On YouTube.
Well, do TikTok. Shorts as well. Do TikTok.
I need
shorts.
To do YouTube shorts. TikTok, I do. I try to do TikTok, but I just struggle to. I just can't grow the TikTok. The TikTok's kind of just stuck.
You're nearly on 100K already.
Yeah, it's just been stuck there forever. I've been at 80th for like a year.
I never even tried really on TikTok until this year. It was my year to.
Yeah,
try. Tough. But it's so hard having to try on every single platform.
100%. People don't understand how much time and effort goes into this stuff.
So much.
I'm not complaining. Again, don't get me wrong. I've been sitting here Mauritius playing golf.
You're allowed to complain because it's just the reality of it. It's highs and lows, and we have huge highs, but we have huge lows as well.
100%. It's kind of the biggest of both. Like, you get the literally lowest of lows and the highest of highs, and then you have everything mm-hmm. in between. It's there's no for the most part, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, complain.
I think I've never had, well, I've always had bad anxiety, but like my anxiety can literally be triggered so easily these days. And I'm like, is it because I'm getting older or is it because of what I do now? And then I'm like, oh, I can't record anything. I was literally going to do a whole podcast just on anxiety and how I'm feeling because like at some points I just feel overwhelmed. Like I can't do anything. Like I'm just not good enough.
Yeah, and I think I remember you saying that to me in LA, I think, mm-hmm. that you were like starting to struggle with a little bit of it, like you feel like you're just spinning your tires a bit. And it's, but I get that as well. Like, I'm at this point now where I'm like, I've been like homesick lately, mm-hmm. which is I've never had before. I'm a nomad that lives out of a suitcase. And all of a sudden, I've got like this like crazy amount of will to just be at home.
Yeah.
And it's weird for me because I never would have thought. I've been like, I'm going to be traveling the world until I'm 95 years old, and then mm-hmm. like I'm so content. But for some reason, I don't know, it's like this switch flicked, and all of a sudden I'm like, I think it happened like maybe 3 weeks ago, and I was like, I am so excited to just go home,
yeah,
play golf at Bear Mountain, my home course there, and do nothing. Just do what I was doing before. Get back to like the simple things.
Why do you think it?
I think life just started moving too fast for me. It was just too much happening. I was getting pulled in so many different mm-hmm. directions from so many different companies, from so many different opportunities, saying yes to all of them. And then all of a sudden it just all came crashing in to where like I was just constantly thinking too far in advance
yeah.
instead of just being stoked about what I had in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I need. I need to go back to just my very like basic day in, day out, go to yeah. Bear Mountain, play nine holes, make some yeah. videos, get a coffee, like just lay low for a bit, take a load off and just, and I'm sure you're the same. I think it's probably different roots of it. There's probably other mm-hmm. things that we both have, but I mean, you were in Singapore last week. You obviously don't get home to your boyfriend very often. Like it's, and when you are, it's like in and out, he has to work this full-time schedule. And then mm-hmm. you guys are both like, it's tough. And then you start thinking about it. And then you start thinking about, like, I mean, I'll speak for myself here, but even when this, like, the follower count starts like flattening, you're like, yeah. do I need to change what I'm doing? Is my shelf life expired? Am I done?
It's so weird though. Like, that is something literally out of our control.
100%.
But it's because you've had, when you have moments where you skyrocket and you're going up loads and you're like, oh my God, what have I done? Like, is this, yeah. am I doing awesome? Like, that is the only kind of gratification you get in terms of like a promotion in a job.
100%. But I think this is what I was saying earlier, where it's like, I don't like the high of highs and low of lows. I like the middle. Mm-hmm. I like to just flatline all the time, which is why I'm so excited to go home, because that's what I feel like I'm flatlining. It feels like I'm just, life's easy.
Yeah.
I'm just doing my thing that makes me happy. And that's all I need. I'm very simple, yeah. right?
But do you think it's like, you and I are kind of similar in a sense, we don't really have like a team around us.
Yeah, this is rare. Like you and I, we've talked about it. Mm-hmm. We've both like gone down that road of like the agent thing, stuff like that. And I'm very hands-on. I like to do things. Yeah. I like to be in control of what I'm doing. And for me, I think it's like, I have some people that help me out mm-hmm. and it's awesome. Like agents, but I've kind of said to them, like, I don't want to sign
yeah.
my life away. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy just doing things on my own. I would love somebody to help me. Great. Which I have. Shout out Joe, Josh, Richard. Like I have all these people that help
yeah,
me out,
yeah.
but I think I'm still like just a one man show. I travel the world with my two phones and my golf clubs
yeah.
and my luggage. And I think it sometimes does get a little overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with like just companies and
yeah, but it's overwhelming in a sense of, okay, you're going out, you're filming all day, you're doing things for clients, you're coming home, you're having to edit, which takes so much longer than you guys think for that little friggin' 30-second video.
You're on YouTube too. I'm not even on YouTube.
Yeah.
So the fact that you have all this, plus you have to edit your YouTube, plus you have to edit your podcast, like I have a ton of respect uh-huh. for you, because there's not many people doing that life.
And then you have to answer all these emails that keep coming in, and you're like, oh my God, like, can you just go away and leave me alone and just give me some time?
I get overwhelmed very quickly with that when I start seeing my emails pile up. Mm-hmm. I used to, until about a month ago, I used to respond to every single comment, every single DM in my videos.
Yeah, you told me that. And I was... Okay, guys, you may have heard that that just stopped then. So I'm really freaking stupid. Like, I'm really, really dumb, but I don't know how it's happened. But we've just recorded the rest of this podcast and it wasn't recording. Oh my God, Mac's going to kill me.
No, I won't.
But I could be dead very, very soon. So we're going to re-record it now. So yeah, at the end of that conversation, we kind of lost a bit of the flow and we were kind of talking about, yeah, just life and being overwhelming. So what did we talk about? We're going to ask some of the questions that I asked you guys from Insta just to get us back into the flow again. It's so stupid of me. I feel really, really dumb. You literally were just saying in that, I have huge respect for you for doing like a podcast and your YouTube.
No, but the thing is like, we're relying on technology. I made a hole in one a couple years ago and I had my phone set up and thought I was recording and didn't hit play.
No.
Yes. No. And this shot, I'm telling you right now, this shot would have broken the internet. It was like this huge hook that started so far left, went around this tree, one bounce to the left of the pin and slam dunked in. And it was zoomed in so you would have been able to see everything.
No way.
I was so excited. I was with people. So there was people with me. I wasn't alone. And we were all going nuts. I like ran up to the hole and I came back and my phone was off the entire thing.
How did you feel?
I was miserable, but then I'm like, you know what? It's life. There'll be another opportunity one day.
Yeah, like you can always get another hole in one, but I can't always get that half an hour back with Mac.
There's lots of time. We got time. We got time all week.
Yeah,
we can break this into two parts.
Oh my God. So anyway, back to the questions that you've already answered, but we're going to get them again. This is from @Binsons. How few clubs can Mac carry and still shoot the same or better score? I'm going to try and like give reactions that are real again. I know the answers.
But I can give you two different I can give you different answers.
Whoa.
I've got lots of different stories to tell.
Okay, story time.
What I would say I would like to use, I can use my 7-wood a lot.
So the last answer was like strong, strong 7-wood.
7-wood for sure. But I would say as long as I have a 7-wood and a wedge and a putter, mm-hmm. I feel like I could like potentially put up a good score.
But what did you say you scored with a 7-wood last time?
Just 7 was 2 over, but I think I could break par with like 3 or 4 clubs.
So nuts.
If the course was right. Course dependent, if there's a lot of bunkers and like weird places to hit it. But if I was just playing a normal, everyday golf course,
yeah,
I think... with my style of play and being able to kind of manufacture shots, there's no reason why I couldn't break par.
But Mac's going to start a YouTube series which says, oh, can I break par with one club? You forgot to mention that.
I am going to do that, yes. There's lots. I have lots of series coming up, as you pointed out.
Yeah, in the bits you miss. Mac has a ton of series, and that is one of them, and it's going to be so cool. Like, it'll be really cool.
Yeah, I think there's lots of... I think the good thing about... the brand that I have, there's so many different ways I can take it. I taught golf, so I can do teaching and educational stuff. I play tournament golf, so I can document tournament series. Because I do want to start playing some tournaments. Again, that's a strong goal of mine. And then I can do my fun stuff, my match videos with friends that are similar to me. I can do stuff with just like random people around the world. There's just a lot of cool things I can do, and I don't think it's going to be a very one-dimensional channel.
Yeah. Can we go back to that tournament golf for a second? Because you did a tournament recently, which was freaking the craziest thing I've ever, ever heard. You played in a proper competition, but plot twist, you had an earpiece in. You were talking through your shots. Someone was talking at you through your shots. And yeah, I mean, maybe you can just explain what happened there and how it was.
Yeah, so my goal, I had a big goal for myself to get back into some tournaments, not only for myself, but to silence some of my critics, because I enjoy doing that in a humble way that isn't just me talking. I'd rather go out and show action, speak louder than words, because you can't chirp me if I'm going out there and showing actions.
It's so annoying that people are always critiquing you, though.
Yeah, but it's the internet. Like you, I've realized it's just the internet. Everyone deals with it. But I think the easiest way to silence people is not by words, but is by actions. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason I want to do it for myself, because I enjoy competing. I do miss being competitive. So I had this opportunity to play in this New South Wales Open in Australia. World ranking points.
They got
points.
In touch with you? How did you get in?
Yeah, so I was in New Zealand practicing and just hanging out with some friends there, because I hadn't been back since I lived or moved there back in the day. Met up with this follower of mine from Australia, Paul Sheehan, who I've talked to quite a bit. He had some opportunities with me, some of the brands that he works with. Yeah. Anyways, he put me in touch with the tournament coordinator of the tournament and was asked if I wanted to have anything to do with the tournament this year. And I thought, like, he meant promotional stuff that, like, I do for DP World Tour events and stuff. And he's like, no, like, he wants to give you a sponsor exemption into the tournament. And I was like, why me? What is the catch here? And they're like, well, you're going to be mic'd up. You're going to have an earpiece in, and you're going to document your experience playing a pro tournament. And it's going to be the first time that anyone's ever been mic'd up for full 18 holes.
This is
the very first time that anyone's been mic'd up for full 18 holes.
Wow.
In a professional, with an earpiece in a professional event. They said that to me, that they kept on saying in the earpiece, this is groundbreaking, that, like, you're a part of history. I'm like, not really here, but, like, let's settle down. But it is cool. It was like the first time anyone's ever done something like that.
I did it as a caddy.
That's cool.
As a caddy.
I feel like
the Ladies European Tour.
I feel like that right there is going to make golf more enjoyable to view. Like, I think it'd be cool to be, like, inside access. Like, I would hit a bad shot in this tournament, and the guy in my earpiece in the studio back in Melbourne would be like, so, Mac, why did you come up 20 yards short there? What happened? And I'm like, well, I hit it like an idiot.
I
duffed it. And I would have to talk about what had just happened in the moment. And people, the best is there was a live chat, so you could...
Oh, really?
Anyone... could be in this. I had followers of mine in the chat asking me questions, who would then be relayed through the guy in the studio, being like, we had a question from Tony from Canada. He would like to know what you're eating at the turn. And it's like, I'm going to have a peanut butter and jam sandwich that my caddy Luke made for us this morning.
Like, it was just hilarious.
And then the best part was, it's a funny story, it was really hot. And my caddy and I love frozen Cokes.
Frozen Cokes, like an ice Coke.
You get it from McDonald's. It's like a slushy.
You get it from McDonald's.
They're big in Australia and New Zealand. You can go to McDonald's in Australia and New Zealand and ask for a frozen Coke.
Really?
It's literally just a slushy Coke.
Okay.
Anyways, it's like, I don't know why, when it's hot, like, I'm a big fan of them. So we made a joke, being like, on the live stream on like the eighth hole or something. We're like, oh, it's so hot out here, we could both use a frozen Coke.
Yeah.
Literally, someone brought us frozen Cokes was watching the live stream and delivered us a couple frozen Cokes in the ninth hole.
That's crazy. So that's funny. Like Wetherspoons.
Yeah, it was like...
Where you can, like, just say, oh, I'm on table nine, and people can send you stuff.
Yeah, it was so funny. So
that's really
cool. Very cool experience, very overwhelming experience. Probably I was very nervous, can't hide. Mm. I'm in a situation where there's nowhere to hide.
How did that make
right
you feel?
In the middle of... thrown into this situation. How do I feel?
Exposed.
I'd say not exposed, but it was like, it was overwhelming. It was on Instagram. I can post the good shots that I'm proud of. I'm not one to take a billion takes for my stuff, but I can post the stuff that I'm proud of, which is what I do. This was going to show every aspect of my day from the minute I woke up in the morning to my post-round interview, everything. I had nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
Not to mention, when things aren't going well and your head's spinning in a million miles a minute and you're like a little bit, you can't just go drop a big F-bomb and like...
Yeah. And then the guys go, so why do you suck?
Honestly, it was like I had to be so like positive to myself and like not let my emotions get the best of me. And I was 4 over through 5 the first day and I was like panic mode set in.
Oh, gosh.
And then I managed to... played my last 31 holes or 32 holes or whatever, and like one over par. So I was happy with the way I bounced back.
And what did the people you were playing with think? Because that's also weird. Like, you're a professional golfer. You've got this dude who's a content creator coming in with cameras and an earpiece, and he thinks he's all this. And it's like, man, I'm just trying to play some golf here.
And that's exactly what I was worried about taking the sponsor exemption, as I felt like I was going to embarrass myself, embarrass the tournament, and it would just end up being a negative. But luckily, I got paired with two Aussies that I knew quite well. They know what I do. Okay. They know what I'm capable of, or what I was capable of, because I played and practiced with them before. They were warned about the cameras and everything that was going to happen. And I just did my honest best to play golf, get out of the way, shut up, and just like let them do their thing. Because for them, this is their career. Yeah. This is how they make money. Mm-hmm. For me, it's more of like an enjoyment thing than anything. So I had to be very mindful of that. But they loved it.
Did they say anything?
Yeah. Like, they both messaged me after the tournament and were like, it was so cool seeing that, like, the fact that you were able to do everything and be that switched on for warm-up, everything, and not embarrass yourself and hit some really good shots. And honestly, through the middle of both rounds, I probably outplayed them. Like, I had honor on the tee for most of the holes. Like, I was playing extremely well for a while, and they both, like, recognized that, which was nice.
Like, how the frick is this guy doing? He's a machine.
I'm hitting, like, these like ridiculous shots.
Yeah, were you hitting slingers?
Yeah, I hit a lot. I hit some normal shots. Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna lie, but I hit some, like, I have a bunch of them on video, which is pretty cool now that I can look back at.
Like, how do you choose when to hit a straight shot versus a slingshot?
I'm a big wind guy and pin location. So where the wind's coming is huge, and where the pin is located on a green is normally. It's honestly just a comfort thing of what I feel in the moment.
So wait, how would I so? If the wind was coming right to left,
I normally cut it. I'll never go against the wind. I'll never shape it into the wind. Okay. So let's say I'm a lefty.
Yeah.
Wind's hard off the left.
Brain confused.
Wind's hard off the left.
Yeah.
Do you want me to talk about it in like a righty sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a righty. The wind's coming hard off the right.
Hard off the right, meaning it's coming from the right.
From the right, going to the left.
Right, got it.
I will never try to cut one into that wind. You're going to try to draw one with the wind.
Right.
That's what
I mean. So it starts into the wind and then comes.
Yeah, the wind drifts it in.
Right.
So I let the wind help me. Mm. I also will pick the shot based on where the hazard or where the trouble is in the hole. So if there's water down the right side.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I will never hit a shot that's going to turn into that water. I'll peel it off the water.
Right. So you hit you basically hit into the water and then.
Yeah, I always play towards the hazard or towards the OB and let it curve away from that. So I know where my miss is. That's where how I choose what shot I'm going to hit.
Interesting. Mm. Yeah, that is interesting. Okay. Well, I feel like I've learned a lot. All right, next question. This is from Marcy.van. How are you better right-handed than most people are hitting left-handed? I think that's a very good question, because hell, you play off what on your...
I'm probably a single digit righty, high single digit. I don't play righty ever. I can't remember the last full round of golf I played, but I can hit it pretty well right-handed. My swing's pretty decent right-handed. It all kind of happened because I had this wrist surgery in 2016 or whatever it was, and I had a full arm cast. Then it turned into like a little arm cast underneath the elbow, which still allowed me to, I could swing a golf club holding it with my left hand and just had the cast sitting on the club. And I did that for like 6 months. I just played golf all the time, right-handed, with a cast on. And I actually got like super comfortable with it.
Really?
I have a video.
Do you think it helped you having the cast on or not?
No, I think I made it work. But I have a video. I was teaching pro at a course in Toronto at the time. And it was like a private club, and there was like a members like men's league like final closing night, and they had a long drive contest. So everyone played in this long drive contest, and they let me do it, but I had to do it right-handed because I had cast on, and I still have the video. And I won this long drive contest swinging right-handed with a cast on.
How far did you hit it?
It was like I think it was 285 yards.
What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was pretty.
What?
I wish I could find that video.
You need to post that immediately, because that's crazy. Okay, I want to hit 285 yards just as like a thing, but like,
what? I gotta see if I can find it. It is like.
With a cast on.
It was pretty wild.
Yeah, I don't even know, like, could you grip properly? Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Right. You need to put that somewhere so people can actually see it, because you can't see through a podcast.
I just figured you need to see it, but
that was crazy.
Mm-hmm. So that's when, like, I just did that for a long time, playing right-handed with a cast on. And that's when I, like, started realizing, oh, maybe I can play right-handed as well.
Wow, you love golf.
I'm a loser. That's all I do is just golf every day. Although I love skiing more. Do you know that fun fact about me?
I do know that, because you wrote that in a caption once. You said, fun fact about me, I like snowboarding.
Skiing and snowboarding is my main love.
But that's when I DM'd you and was like, oh my God, I really want to learn to snowboard.
Well, Georgie did that for you, didn't he? Get you some?
George got me some snowboarding lessons.
Can't wait to see that.
Which is really fun.
Snowboarding with Mia.
Yeah. Beginner snowboarder. Content coming right up.
You should.
All right, this is from at Kanatsky 13. Do you ever get lonely traveling alone so much, and what's your coping mechanism if so? God, I read that terribly. I literally read that and it was bad. Ever get lonely traveling alone so much, and what's your coping mechanism if so?
I would say I'm very introverted and like being on my own. So for the most part, no, it does not.
Yeah.
For the most part, it's like I do spend enough time with people at these events that I'm doing and that I don't maybe notice that I'm on my own all the time. It's just like by the time I'm done with the event, I'm ready to just post up in my bed and go to sleep. I spend a lot of time. I think it hits me the hardest when I'm at airports traveling.
Oh, really?
I just spent 55 hours traveling from New Zealand when it was all said and done to Mauritius. It was like 55 hours. You're tired. You're lacking sleep. You're feeling a little bit grumpy.
A little grumpy.
And you just want to get, I just want to get home. Yeah. I just want to be home. I don't want to, like, that's when it hits me the most, of the traveling alone and just being away from everything and being completely on your own. But for the most part, I appreciate the alone time. So it doesn't bother me.
I think people don't realize, like, how intense it is when you're traveling. Like, this week, for example, we're scheduled to the T. Well, I am, for sure.
You are.
You've got a bit more free time than I have.
But yeah. No, well, you have more useful assets than I do.
Not really.
Okay, Mac, let's see you turn one around this tree now. Like, that's what my usefulness I bring. Like, at least you can go talk and present. Like, they just bring me out when they need me to skip a ball across a pond.
Yeah, but they all go, God, this is the best day ever. I've loved it so much.
It's funny.
But yeah, it's super intense. Like, from the moment you wake up, you then have to go and, I don't know, have breakfast with certain people. And then you're, like, scheduled out. And then you're filming, talking. Then you get in. And then it's like, oh, can you just film this as well? And then can you post this? And then edit this for this? And then also meet us for dinner at this time. And you're like, oh, my God, all I want to do is just not speak to anyone and just do my work and my emails and all the other jobs and chores I have 100%. To do.
Yeah. The sleep's key. Keeping a good sleep pattern is a little bit difficult, though, when we're living on these 50 different
This crazy time dude's zones. Been waking up at like 4 a.m.
I'm stuck. I don't think that's going to change.
You're stuck.
I'm stuck in this rut, and I just can't see it changing. 3 a.m. the last 2 days in a row.
That's crazy.
That's right.
Yeah, I'd say the probably the emotion I feel most when I'm away is, like, maybe even at home, just like overwhelmingness. Like, everything is just almost a bit too much and I can't manage everything. And
yeah, you have a lot of stuff on. Like, from looking from the outside, just with, like, the YouTube, the podcast, the Instagram, the emceeing these events, the constant travel, it's a lot. And people they only see the product that you put out. They don't see the behind the scenes that puts you to the situation. And I think that's what I tell people. Like, the videos just don't edit themselves.
Yeah.
I don't just flip my hands in there and, like, have a video pop out. Like, it doesn't work like that. I need to take time for me to even find a song to stick with my video that I feel like fits the mood of the video.
But it looks so weird because when you watch that 30-second video, it doesn't look like there's much of an edit. Do you know what I mean?
No,
like, some
100%.
Of them is like, oh, that looks freaking easy.
A lot of mine is easy, I will say. It's like, okay, good video, toss a song over it, done. Fire it out. And that's just, like, when I'm feeling a little bit lazy.
But you still write text and be like,
yeah, I try.
Should have put a slingshot. oh no, you mug, you absolute idiot. You know what I say? Like, you write things like that.
Yeah.
But it still takes time.
But I literally, it's like, for me, whatever comes to my head, I just write it.
Which is the best way.
I don't overthink it.
Yeah.
I look at it, first thought that comes to mind, I'm like, type it out, mm-hmm. and then it's done.
That's how I do my captions. I mean, I write long captions sometimes. Why have I got so many words to say? I don't know.
Like, yeah, but you're going, I feel like I'm like constantly like appreciating things. I don't know. Like I always want to write these like heartfelt messages.
Me too.
It's the weirdest thing. Like, I'm constantly like, I feel so fortunate that I'm like...
Hashtag grateful.
Yeah, it's so bizarre, but I didn't know I was like a deep person like this, but...
Do you think you're deep?
I'm too much of a spud for that, but I would say I'm like... I'm appreciative. I'm appreciative of this life that I'm living now. Am I rich from it? Absolutely not, but I'm experience rich, which is so important to me that I get to like... play golf recreationally with cool people around the world mm-hmm. in cool countries, at cool golf courses, with cool brands, doing something that I absolutely love. I mean, that's all that really matters to me. I don't do it because I want to get super rich from this. Mm-hmm. I literally do it because I just want to like live each day and be like, I'm stoked with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's a hard place to get to because I feel like there's such like a focus on you should earn this much money so you can have this and you can have this and you can have this. And it's like a lot of pressure and you're like, oh, this path might not get me there. Therefore, I have to do this other job, which I don't really love. And then I can't follow my dreams. And it's a bit of a crazy cycle.
I feel like it's tough. As soon as money, you start thinking about the money. And that's what I always get that question is like, how do you make money? Like what... How much do you make a lot of money from what you're mm-hmm. doing? And I'm like, it's not about the money.
Yeah.
As soon as you make it about the money, you're going to be miserable, in my opinion, because...
For anything.
Yeah, for anything. And I think money will come, potentially, if you just put your head down, hard work, treat people nicely, and are passionate about something.
Yeah.
And if you show that, if you're constantly are passionate about something, it's going to show. Mm-hmm. And then brands are going to want to...
Yeah.
And that's what I like. I mean, we're here for BMW this week, and that's kind of their, they told me when I had their meeting with them, is like, they just want people that are like authentic and people that are like
normal,
just normal human beings that love what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's why we're sitting here looking at each other in Mauritius, because we're both have similar outlooks and the fact that we both love golf.
Yeah.
We both love, I mean, I would say you're almost more addicted to it than I am.
Really?
I mean, last night you were sitting there on the driving range hitting golf balls at 8 o'clock, getting bitten by mosquitoes in the dark.
Oh my God, it was so dark.
Working on this swing feel that I couldn't even see you. And you're like,
yeah, we literally had two lights on our camera and it was pitch black. I don't know. I just let go.
I'm sorry, I don't know many people, male or female, that are going to be, that don't play for a living, that are that, like, I guess obsessive on getting better, but that's cool. I think that's what you need to be.
Better.
That's how you've gotten better, and I think that's the big lesson to be learned is the fact that that's how you're gonna progress.
Yeah, it takes a bit of time.
You need to put time in, and you can't just expect that things are gonna be given to you and you're gonna get better. You need to be willing to work at it
and like do it when you can. People are like, how do you find the time? Like, I literally make time. I barely have any time to play golf or practice my golf these days. I get like, Mia, can you hit one shot for this? Now can you go and present here? And now can you hit one shot here? Hit about three shots a day.
Yeah.
Like.
It's crazy.
But I will say on a side note, the mosquitoes here have honestly eaten me alive. I'm like a friggin' buffet.
Yeah, you look like you had measles today. Me, on the other hand, I don't think I've been bit.
Yeah, that's not
I'm
delicious.
Fine. I'm doing just fine.
I know. I can't believe it. They literally have been eating me so much. All right. So this is the... last question. It's from Ryan Stanbury Golf. And the question is, how do you figure out yardages when slinging it? Which is a freaking good question.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one for me to answer because I think it is just strictly based on the fact that I'm a field golfer. And I have spent so much time on golf courses just tinkering and working on figuring out what works for me. That being said, I'm not like a stock yardage guy. I aim for a bigger target. I aim for greens. I aim for big things. So I'm not super specific on hitting one spot. But honestly, I would say it's just from me trialing and error. That's what I'm going to say if my answer is there. It's just a ton of trial and error to find what works. And then now I've got like this mental calibrator that I can kind of look at it and figure it out and know how hard to hit it. I don't know how else I can explain it other than the fact that it's just been a ton of trial and error.
So depending on how far you sling it, I don't know. How would you know? Like,
so I did a lot of work on like TrackMans and GC quads and like launch monitors to understand the numbers of what happens when I'm hooking it, when I'm slicing it, when I'm hitting it low, when I'm hitting it high.
Do they pick it up? Because obviously if you're slinging it, it can be a bit like...
Yeah, so they'll pick up your launch number. So like understanding what my path is. So let's say my path is 30 degrees in to out when I'm hooking it, which is generally what it is. So if I hit a big slinger, my path is generally 25 to 30 degrees in to out, which is pretty substantial.
Yeah.
Then understanding what my face angle is going to be at impact to make it curve back, all that stuff. Once I kind of had an understanding of what needed to happen, so I explained this to you earlier, is it's if I'm hitting like a slinger 9-iron, the loft of that 9-iron at impact is actually more similar to like a 7-iron.
Yeah.
Loft.
So
then understanding how far my 7-iron straight one goes.
So because you're decreasing the loft when you close the club face because you're hooking it or whatever you're doing.
And then vice versa. If I'm cutting it or slicing it, then chances are the face is actually fractionally more open.
Oh.
So a 5-iron would actually be more like a 6-iron or 7-iron. So it works opposite. So slices don't go as far as generally.
Oh, because of the loft thing.
Yeah. So
I did always wonder that, why everyone goes, your draw will go further than your fade. And that's
That is true with a lot of stuff, but it's not true with driver. This is very deep and hard for me to explain without showing it. I'm not even good at showing it, but I'm going to do my very best here to explain it. I hit big slices off the tee. Everyone knows me for like hitting big cuts off the tee. I can draw it when I want to, but my cut off the tee is by far my safety shot. I call it my safety slice because I know where it's going. It's predictable. I can still hit my safety slice pretty far because most people that slice the ball hit down on it like an iron, like have a negative attack angle. So negative attack angle kicks up spin.
Yeah.
So you get like... optimal is like 2,000 RPM of spin, 2,200 RPM of spin with driver. Most people that slice it spin it at like 4,000 or 3,500.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of just like falls out of air and then like spins up. Or if it's against the wind, it goes nowhere. I have found a way to hit cuts with a 6-degree up path. So okay. I hang back on it. I do some weird stuff with my spine where I still hit up on it a ton, so I keep my spin at 2,000 RPM, but it's still an out-to-in path, so it cuts and goes just as far as when I draw it.
Wow.
So to answer the question, a ton of trial and error to understand how far I'm hitting it and understanding what causes what and what lofts are going to cause what. And my biggest sling compared to a medium sling compared to like a baby sling, what lofts are going to all be working through. So it's been years of me just tinkering.
But you would say your standard is like 2 clubs?
Yeah, 2. On a big sling, it's generally almost, I would say a club and a half.
Wow. Yeah. And then just like half a club or...
Yeah, half a club from there based on where I'm going to do it after
but
that.
But you mainly just look at the pin.
And so I'm a visual person. So I'm just like, I pick targets and then I can just visualize where I want the ball to land.
You're like Mozart of golf.
I think I'm just too dumb to get too like into the technical side of it and just go for straight creativity.
No, Mozart, he just like shuts his eyes and then just plays a really epic tune.
I would agree with that. I think I'm a creative person and that's my strength, is being creative.
Yeah.
So
that's so cool. That is why people think you're so cool. That's why people love all the stuff you do, because you can just think of it and you can execute it. Like, I could think of some freaking cool shots in my head. Am I going to execute it? Absolutely not. Like,
I think it's just I'm the only guy sitting on the driving range hitting big hooks and big slices. Not many guys. Most guys are working on a technique. I practice what I preach.
But also, I feel like when you get, like, example me, I'm obviously focusing on trying to get a good shot, like being able to hit it pure. But as I'm getting better, I'm learning how to feel. But I couldn't learn feel when I didn't know how to swing. Right. So I had to be like mega, mega technical to begin with to get to a point now where I understand what feel even means.
100%. And I think it's you need a good mix of both.
Yeah.
I'm still firm believer that you need to hit the middle of the club face and hit the golf ball really well if you want to incorporate feel into your golf swing. So I'm still go back to like some of the most basic drills that I used to use when I was learning golf to this day. The only time I go to the driving range is when I'm working on good contact. If I feel like my contact's suffering, I go and work on good contact. I don't care what it looks like. Yeah. I just want to hit the golf ball well.
What do you do for that?
I have a couple, like, there's a couple drills that I would always resort back to. That one we were working with today with the one hand.
Oh, really? You'd actually...
Because I hate flipping.
Me too.
So it forces me to rotate.
Interesting. I'm going to post that on my Instagram so you guys know what we're talking about.
I honestly think that it's a very, very good drill. Even just like chip shots. You don't have to do full swings. Yeah. Just do like chip shots just to get the feel of your body rotating, everything working together. So that's a huge one for me because I hate when my body stalls out. That forces me to turn. I can't even really explain the other one, but Alex Riggs gave it to me a few years ago. And I, to this day...
What was it?
Okay, so because I sling so much and hit so many hooks, I finish with my path goes too far away, and I call it runaway arms. So my arms get disconnected on my follow through, and my hands go up, and I have a very high follow through.
Yeah.
If I want to get my cut back, because I do like cutting the golf ball, my natural shot shape used to be cut, I need to feel like my hands exit low and right. So for you, it would be low and left.
Oh, okay.
So not...
So it's basically the opposite of what I'm working on at the moment.
Yeah, you're the opposite. You get too steep and down on it.
Right.
That's
the thing. Everyone does swing slightly different, so you 100%. Do need to understand.
Different tendencies is you need to understand what works for you and how to perfect it.
Yeah.
I'm a huge believer that swing your swing, find what your strengths are, and just like tweak them until they all kind of work. It's like a well-oiled machine that all kind of links together. My swing is not perfect. It's far from perfect.
Yeah.
But I do say that I can hit the middle of the club face extremely consistently.
Yeah.
Which I would say that's a huge strength of mine. But it's because I've worked hard at it. So.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you can apply that to all of life. Find your strengths, work hard at it, and then...
True.
Crack on. Anyway, Mac, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. I mean, we're going to go for dinner now. So you're still going to have to chat to me for another hour. Woo, look at you.
Yeah, it's good. I'm sure we'll link up in another part of the world again here soon.
Yeah, probably. Can't get right. No, you're coming to England, remember?
Yeah, that's true. Next week.
Don't know why you even
see you next
that.
Week, Mia.
And for the rest of this week. But no, it's been so nice to chat to you. And yeah, guys, I'm really sorry that I messed up the audio on my only one job I had for today, which was to record this podcast with Max. So yeah, if you want to shoot me, you can. But then I won't be able to record anymore. So maybe we can do this for a second time at some point. But yeah, anyway, thank you so much, Mac. And thank you guys for listening.
Thanks for having me, Mia.
Thank you guys so much for joining us on this episode of Unsussed. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here as always. Make sure you don't forget to follow and subscribe, and remember, feel free to DM me any questions or stories you'd like me to chat about next week on Instagram. It's @MiaEllaX. Chat soon.